The new book titled Peril, co-authored by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, details the 2020 presidential campaign, the January 6th riot at the Capitol, and the first months of the Biden presidency. It's a startling behind-the-scenes look at the chaos at that time and also a warning for the future. Joining us on the KSRO Liveline is Robert Costa. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
Now, the book opens with General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, making an urgent call to his counterpart in China right after the January 6th riot to calm nerves and assure world leaders that the U.S. was stable. And this prologue also covers a pretty tense conversation with Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Now, since the book has come out, Milley has been interviewed extensively by Congress. What do you think of this testimony that Milley gave, and does it corroborate what's in your book?
It does, and as a reporter, to see the senior military officer in the United States essentially confirm the prologue and other aspects of the book was interesting to watch. Milley confirmed he spoke to the Chinese. He needed to de-escalate a situation that he feared could be catastrophic, that miscommunication could be the seed of war. He confirmed that he did not believe President Trump wanted to attack China, but he worried that there could be some kind of miscommunication and some kind of action in the South China Sea that would be very problematic. And with Speaker Pelosi, he said he's not a psychiatrist. He can't detail anybody's mental health, but he did not deny that he spoke to the Speaker about her concerns about nuclear weapons, and he confirmed that he called in the nuclear team at the Pentagon and said, we need to make sure all procedures are followed at this tense time.
Now, there's been a lot of criticism, especially from the former president, about Milley's actions. What do you think of that?
Well, our reporting shows that Milley acted within his duties as the senior military officer, as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to make sure that procedures are being followed when it comes to a nuclear strike and the use of nuclear weapons. What a dramatic scene in our book where you have Milley saying to his war room at the Pentagon, make sure whatever happens, I'm part of the process. I'm called in. I'm bred into any decision on a strike. He was not trying to act as the commander-in-chief, our book shows, but he was trying to make sure something wild or crazy did not happen. He didn't think it was going to happen, but he had to confront what he called privately the, quote, absolute darkest moment of theoretical possibility that something could happen in that chaotic period.
And was it shocking to you and Bob Woodward to realize that what was happening in our country had these reverberations across the rest of the world?
It was stunning to us as reporters because we approached this project like anyone else. We thought that January 6th was a domestic political story. It was about an insurrection at the Capitol. But after over the course of 9 or 10 months of very quiet, diligent reporting, we realized that, no, it was not just a domestic crisis. This was a national security emergency with global ramifications. The rest of the world, adversaries like China and allies, were on edge about the fate of American democracy. Very serious, dark situation, far darker and more bleak than we had previously understood.
I'm talking with Robert Costa. He is the co-author of the new book, Peril, co-authored with Bob Woodward. Now, I want to talk about the timing of this. You hosted your last stint on Washington Week, which is a PBS news program, on January 1st of 2021. Your intent then was to write a book with Bob Woodward. The timing is crazy. This is just days before the January 6th riot. Can you tell us how you were approached or approached Bob Woodward to work on this, and then sort of what happened once January 6th happened?
Well, we never thought the 6th would happen like it did. We can't predict the future. But Bob Woodward and I have been friendly for years. We interviewed Trump together in March of 2016 for the Washington Post. And he's a reporter's reporter. He's been a mentor and friend to me. And so we decided in December we're going to do this book on the transition period. And we didn't think it was going to be this kind of chaotic period. It was just going to be notable and historic in some minor ways. And then I leave Washington Week, and just a few days later, there's an insurrection at the Capitol. And then we spend all this time in the spring and summer trying to keep going back to that story. Even as others move on to the news of the day, as writers of a book, we had the luxury of time to keep going back, asking further questions, doing more interviews. And that's where we discovered things like the Eastman memo, and we discovered the national security emergency behind the scenes. And Woodward's method is as old school as they come. I mean, he broke the Watergate story with Carl Bernstein. He's breaking news today at 78 years old with me, and it all comes down to old school hard work and reporting.
Did you have a certain outline for the book when you initially met, and did it change after January 6th?
Well, our original outline remained throughout the whole book, which was we wanted to tell the story of two presidencies. And it's important that the people know that the Biden story is just as important in this book as the Trump one, mm-hmm. because Biden's a response to Trump, and he's president now, and we got to give him proper attention. And we really try to understand his story as well as the collapse of Trump.
Now, you have written for both conservative and liberal outlets in your career. Was there any angle one way or the other in writing this book?
I've always considered myself a reporter, not a conservative, not a liberal, not a centrist. I just want to put a mirror up to power and reflect what's going on to show people what's really happening. I've always been curious about what goes on behind the scenes. What are people really saying in the Oval Office, in the Speaker's office at the Capitol? And so I used to have the beat for a conservative magazine as a reporter covering the right. And I've covered the left and Senator Bernie Sanders at length. I've always been kind of a beat reporter on political movement. So I came into this with no agenda, and Woodward the same. That's why we get along so well as partners and reporters. We really believe that reporters can be objective and neutral, but very vigorous in holding people accountable at the same time.
Now, it's really apparent that Trump's brand is still quite strong. What is the Republican Party doing now to set things up for 2024?
Well, some leaders of the Republican Party, like Leader McConnell, call Trump a fading brand. McConnell in the book uses the phrase, Trump's an off-the-track thoroughbred, kind of a Kentucky term. But you see someone like Senator Lindsey Graham, he's really a prism into where the Republican Party is right now. In our book, he just keeps detailing how he wants to rehabilitate Trump, even though he didn't agree with the president's election conspiracies. He wants Trump to come back. And the reason for that is really simple. One word, power. Graham and so many others see Trump as the path back to power in Congress and the White House. And despite all of what has happened, an insurrection, two impeachments, they still want him back.
Now, things in Washington are still very contentious. We see that as, you know, the struggle over the debt ceiling, the struggle with the infrastructure bills. Are you having conversations right now with sources concerning President Biden and the challenges that he's working on right now, the pandemic, the recent withdrawal of troops in Afghanistan? What are you talking about right now with politicos?
Well, our book broke the news that two major cabinet members, Secretary Austin and Secretary Blinken, Secretary of State Blinken, wanted to slow down the withdrawal in Afghanistan. And that's a major part of this book, inside the decision on Afghanistan, so forged by Biden's own past experience with Obama, as much as it was forged by the advice from his cabinet members and national security advisors this year. And on the domestic front, there are scenes in this book, my mom told me, there are too many F-words in this book. And some of them are between Biden and Manchin, screaming at each other about getting that rescue plan done earlier in the year for $1.9 trillion. But those tensions from that rescue plan earlier in the year, they persist. Biden wants to be a progressive, transformational president. This isn't the Amtrak-riding, Delaware centrist from years before. This is someone who, at 78 years old, has made a decision to be transformational in terms of federal spending. And he's dogged about pursuing his agenda, doesn't want to break it up, and wants to pursue as big a plan as possible.
Now, this book is called Peril. It includes a quote from President Biden in his inauguration speech. And can you tell us why you chose that as a title and explain why the book proposes that America is still in peril?
So when Bob Woodward and I were watching Biden's inaugural address in January, we heard that phrase, this is a winter of peril, and it's a reference to the dangerous transition period from the inauguration of the insurrection. And that phrase, winter of peril, stayed with us, and I toyed around with that idea as a possible title and ultimately stuck with it, peril. But what we've seen is that winter of peril from the transition, it persists in so many ways. The spring and summer became seasons of peril. We're now in another season of peril this fall as democracy continues to be tested. President Trump is out there refusing to concede. The Biden agenda is on the rocks in some respects on Capitol Hill. And so you see this country on the knife's edge. And that's why peril persists. The democratic system is being tested. We're beyond sometimes even having partisan warfare. It's at a deeper level, a fundamental reckoning for the entire democratic system.
And finally, I want to ask, do you have any plans to write more books with Bob Woodward?
It's been the joy of my life to work with Bob Woodward. I mean, someone I watched on All the President's Men, played by Robert Redford when I was a young man, and then to be his friend and be mentored by him for the last 8 years at the Washington Post, to work with him, it was like getting a PhD in reporting. And so TBD and what we do next, but I would always welcome the chance to do something with Bob. There's no one better to learn from and to work with.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
That is Robert Costa. He co-authored the book Peril with Bob Woodward.